Romans chapter 8. I've entitled the message this morning, Victim or Victor. Victim or Victor. Now, life, as we know, can be tough. It can be difficult. And we all go through situations that in the challenge of that situations, we either become a victim to the circumstances or we become victors in and through the circumstances. And it's different battles that we face right throughout our lives. Some of them are small battles. Some of them are massive, are huge, huge battles. But whether we remain a victim or we become a victor is how we trust in God and realize that, as we've sung already this morning, God is by our side. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read from verse 31. Last week, Richard covered verses 18 to 30. So thank you, Richard, for your teaching last Sunday. Verse 31 reads, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Is God who justifies? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." When we become victims to our circumstances, that they can freeze us in the moment, and they can hold us almost in that moment forever. Becoming a victim means that we can feel powerless. It has such effects about not trusting others. We can tend to argue a lot. We wallow in self-pity and we become critical. Is that sense of woe is me. And sometimes we can go through these difficult experiences of life and we ask the question sometimes, why me? It's not fair. This shouldn't be happening to me. And we live, if we're not careful, in that state of being victims. One of the verses that we'll come to in a moment says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. In other words, God wants us to be victors right throughout our lives. Now, that will look different in different situations. It doesn't mean that we're kind of always waving the flag of triumphalism and dancing through the streets. But what it does mean, even in the darkest moments, we can still raise a hallelujah to God. Nobody else might hear the hallelujah that's pushing through all the pain, but God hears it. Sometimes it might well mean dancing through the streets with a glorious victory, but quite often it's those private, personal battles that no one else knows about, that we all face day in, day out, that God wants us to become victors in. One commentator says this: Paul introduces in these last 9 verses of this chapter with the concluding formula, which he has been already used 3 times in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 15, and chapter 7 and verse 7. And it's this: what shall we say in response to this? There is a response that God draws from us as we look at these verses. And what we see in these last few verses is 5 important questions. And in one sense, there is no answer to these questions. And when I think about questions, I always think about exams. Richard mentioned the maths exams last week, I think, when you've got to work out the size of a cake or whatever it might be, the diameter of a pipe or this, that, or the other. I was pretty good at maths up to a certain age. Once they introduced English into maths, it got a bit complicated. I was okay with sums, you know, 2 times 2 and 5 times 6. But when they kind of said 3a minus 5b and square root of c, I'm thinking, why are they introducing English into maths? It doesn't seem right. But I don't know, can you still remember those days of going into an exam room and the tension, and you kind of see the questions, they all seem to kind of blur into each other. Nobody likes exams. The questions that Paul is asking you is not in that context of an exam. The context of these questions follows on from what Richard unfolded from the scriptures last week, that the suffering that you looked at last week isn't worth being compared with the great glory that we have and will have in Christ Jesus. As it says in verse 18, our suffering is not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so this morning, we're going to quickly go through these 5 questions. So question number 1 is there in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, it's important. Paul isn't asking the question, who is against us? Because if Paul was just asking that question, most of us, if not all of us, could come up with a list as long as our arm as to who is against us. You know, we all, well, not you, but I certainly have people who don't like me. I don't know why I can't make that out. I thought I'm pretty okay. But, you know, you go through life and we fall out with people, and sometimes people don't like us and they will say hurtful things. They will do hurtful things. And I'm not just talking sadly about people outside the church. This actually happens sometimes in the church. Sadly, people can be unkind to one another within the church, and we can have people that become against other people within the church. And we know that the enemy is against us. Paul isn't asking that question, who is against us? He is saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, you know that I've always liked sport, and I will avoid what happened, talking about what happened yesterday. But I've always kind of loved sport. But I can remember as a child, you know, when you used to pick teams, and sometimes the teams seem a little unfair. You had all the best players on one side and the worst players on the other. And it was so unfair that, you know, if you're talking about football, the score was going to be 15-0 or something. You knew that. But sometimes what would happen as well with these teams, for some reason, the best player was missing. They were a little late. And the team that was made up of the weaker players thought, oh, this is hopeless. But then this super player comes across and he decides to play for the weaker team. And all of a sudden, things are turned around. Now, that's kind of a poor illustration. But what Paul is saying, if God is for us, it doesn't really matter who is against us, because God is for us. And God is the Almighty One. God is the creator. God is the one that stills the storm. Or God is the one that walks with us in the storm. God is the one who is in the lion's den with us. God is the one who is in the flames of fire. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have shouted out, put it up even more, throw some more wood in, make it 10 times hotter if you like. We know from the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that the furnace was so hot that even some of the soldiers putting them there fainted because of the heat. And there's that lovely verse that says, not even a hair on their head was singed. Why? Because God is for us. Are we a victim or are we a victor in the circumstances of life? Things come against us. Many of you know that for many years I've had the privilege of being a chaplain in the school, and I have listened to some of the saddest stories, stories that break my heart, stories that I've driven home from school, wiping the tears away because of the pain and the heartache that children have been through no fault of their own. I can remember talking to one student, and sadly the parents had separated and the student wasn't getting on with their mum, and they decided to go and live with the dad, spoken with the dad and said, Dad, can I come and live with you? And the dad had said, yes, you can come and live with me. I'll talk it through with mum and we can sort that out. And a week later, the dad committed suicide. Life is tough. Life is tough. There are difficulties all around us. And as Christians, we are not excluded from the pain and the problems of the fall of mankind. It affects us. We go through it. We have what we call, in the world's eyes, failures. Wouldn't it be nice for the Christian if every exam we ever sat, we all passed with flying colors? Wouldn't it be nice as Christians that all our marriages were the best marriages in the world? Wouldn't it be nice as Christians if we didn't have any problems? But we do. We do. The enemy wants to make us victims to life circumstances. God wants to make us victors in life circumstances. He wants to make us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And step number one is realizing, if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul isn't saying, don't worry, the things that come against you are small. He's not saying that. What he is emphasizing is God's greatness. And our difficulty is in our problems, in our pains, we lose sight of God's greatness. God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Somebody has described the devil as a rat with a megaphone, and he amplifies his sound. It is God that is all-knowing. It is God that is all-powerful. It is God that sees all and will meet all our needs. I need to move quickly. Question two. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Will he not also give us all things? Now that verse doesn't mean, as I'm sure you're aware, it doesn't mean that God's going to give us a 6-bedroom detached house and a Porsche and a Bentley parked outside and luxury holidays and perfect children. What it does mean that in every single situation that we face in life, God will give us everything that we need to be victorious in all the circumstances of life. If God didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us, will he not also along with him graciously give us all things. What you need and what I need in the midst of a battle, God will supply. Not maybe, not if. God will meet all of our needs in Christ Jesus. He will give us all that we need. Let me emphasize the point. It doesn't mean that we're all going to become multi-millionaires, that we're going to just be healthy and wealthy. But it does mean in the cut and thrust of life, in the highs and the lows of normal living, God will be graciously with us and is able to make us more than a conqueror in each and every situation. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, no temptation's overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But with every temptation, God will provide a way out or a way through that we can endure under it. God is gracious. He will give us all that we need to be a victor in every situation. Now, the great people in the Old Testament, and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've already referred to them, but you remember what they said. My God is able to deliver me, but if he doesn't, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to praise him. They had learned that in God, they were not victims, they were victors. 2 Corinthians 12, 19, a verse that encapsulates Paul going through battles and sufferings. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Do we become victims to our weaknesses? My parents didn't want me. I was an accident. My husband had an affair and left me. I had this terrible car crash. Why did that have to happen? These things are part of life. And the devil wants us locked in to a victim mentality. But God wants to set us gloriously free. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. God will supply. My power is made perfect in weakness. See, the world sees weakness as failure or failure as weakness. But Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses that his power may rest on me. All that you and I need to overcome against us, whatever comes against us, God has promised to provide. Question three, who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? It is God who justifies. All charges have been dropped. They've been met in Jesus. I don't know about you, but there are times when the enemy reminds me of things I've done wrong in the past, and he tries to bring me back to that victim mentality. And I just have to remind the devil, I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus has set me gloriously free. You're not going to make me feel guilty. You're not going to make me feel condemned because I used the F word 10 years ago. I didn't, but just as an illustration, you know, I did this and I did that and I've done that, but I've been set free. God has forgiven me. God has brought justification to my life. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 8 to 9 says this, he who vindicates me is near. The God of ancient army is by my side. He is the one who vindicates us. Who will then bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that condemns? Isaiah 50, verses 8 and 9. Question 5 comes again to this guilt and condemnation. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. 1 John says this, I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a high priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous Jesus. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good. Not only ours, but the whole world. We don't feel condemned because Jesus justifies. 2 weeks ago, I went through a little slide on the difference between conviction and condemnation. And we need to recognize conviction because none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. And there are times when the Holy Spirit will say, that's not a good attitude. That's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong word. That's a wrong action. And we don't be condemned by that. We become convicted. We confess, we repent, and we are gloriously set free. And we are taken from a victim to a victor. Now, if they hadn't said that, I wouldn't have said this. That's the victim mentality. The victor mentality is, God, I messed up. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm going to accept your forgiveness. I'm going to be stronger next time. And the next time they say that, I'm going to answer back more graciously. And I become a victor and not a victim to my circumstances. Jesus intercedes for us. This word intercede, the Latin word, the meaning is that Jesus goes between and he goes to God on our behalf. Jesus is interceding on our behalf, standing between us and the Father, but going right into the Father's presence. And can you imagine Jesus in the Father's presence, naming you before Almighty God and interceding for you and praying over you and praying for you and for me, whatever we are going through, that we will know his grace. Hebrews 7 says this, and he, by virtue of this fact, himself the living guarantee of a better agreement, the human high priests have always been changing, for death made a permanent appointment impossible. But Christ, because he lives forever, possesses a priesthood that needs no successor. This means that he saves fully and completely those who approach God through him, for he is always living to intercede on their behalf. We're almost there. The last question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? Paul says this in these familiar words in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes. Many people died from that. Beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, in dangers by desert sun and sea storm. I've been betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by cold, naked to the weather. That's a fair list, isn't it? I mean, if anybody could have a pity party, it's Paul. Now, let's be fair. If Paul wanted to play the victim card, he could play the victim card. But we are told that after one of the beatings, he was put in a prison cell. And what did he do? He sang praises. He was the victor. He knew that God was with him all the way. And Paul, in that prison cell, had to make up his mind. Do I become a victim to my circumstances? Do I just say how tough life is, how fair and life is? Or do I recognize that God is with me? And he actually said, in this world, you will have trouble. But I'm going to make up my mind not to be a victim, but I'm going to be a victor. And I'm going to worship. And I'm going to praise God in the midst of my troubles. Victim or victor? Joseph. I don't have time to go through these stories, their sermons, and they're out. Joseph. Job. Gideon. Samson. Ruth. Peter, Mary Magdalene, Paul himself. They could have played the victim card, but they all became victors. What can separate us from the love of Christ? And if I could shout loudly this morning with a shout that would shake the earth, the answer is nothing. Nothing. Nothing, nothing can separate us from God's love for us. Now, let me just say this in closing, particularly in the charismatic Pentecostal circles, when we think about being more than a conqueror, we're thinking about great triumphant kind of things. God wants you and I to be a victor, in our daily walk with him. He wants us to be victors over our wrong thoughts. He wants us to be victors over our tempers, over whatever sins we wrestle with day in, day out. This verse applies to the major things in life, but you are aware that before David slew Goliath, he had a bit of a problem with a lion and a bear first. It was a private battle. If we hadn't been told by David about the lion and the bear, we would never have known about it. We would have known about Goliath because it was a public ministry. The bear and the lion were private battles that David went through. They were not public. Goliath was public. We are more than conquerors, not just in the public battles, but we need to be more than conquerors in our private battles that nobody else knows about. But we know that in those private battles, we don't play the victim. Oh God, if I had different parents. Oh God, if I was born in a different part of the UK. Oh God, if I went to a different school. Oh God, if I hadn't broken my leg. Oh God, if this hadn't happened. Oh God, if that hadn't happened. Now, God is with us in our pain. Abba Father is with us. He is with us because he knows what life is like. But he wants you and I to be a victor in the daily battles that we face. Because no matter how much the enemy might shout, no one can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Let me close by reading those verses. It's a closing and it's a convincing statement. I have become absolutely convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life, neither a messenger of heaven or a messenger from earth, neither what will happen today or what will happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below or anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Would you just bow your heads for a moment, please? Only you and God knows about our private battles. God wants you to be a victor in those private battles of your life.
Jesus.
His grace is sufficient. Jesus. All of us are so familiar with failure. We are so familiar with letting our God down. but we're not going to become victims to the guilt and condemnation that the enemy tries to keep us locked into. Right now, we're going to be set free from any lingering guilt, from any lingering condemnation, from any sense of failure. If we have played the victim card, and I have played it so many times, and I'm not just saying that. When I prepared this message, I had to do a lot of heart searching. I have played the victim card time and time and time again. God is bringing us to a place now. We're saying we are going to be more than conquerors in the private battles of our lives. Because when we learn to slay the lion and the bear privately, we'll then do the public giants like Goliath. But many a Pentecostal Christian is trying to slay the Goliath, and they've never slayed their private bears and lions. Now, the bears and lions were private, but they were still vicious. They still could have wiped, put David out. So the battles that we face can be big, but God is for us. I want you to receive that in faith this morning. If you have played the victim card like me, will you just confess that in your own heart before God? Say, God, I confess I play the victim card time and time again, but I'm now, with your help, I'm tearing that card up. And in faith, with your help, I'm going to become the victor. I'm going to become more than a conqueror in every situation. I will have setbacks. I will have failures. But that is my goal. My goal is to become a victor in Christ Jesus in any and every circumstance. Just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, one of the difficulties about this pandemic is that we can't be with each other. I'd love to be with you this morning if anybody wanted to talk further. I would just love to be able to spend more time with you if that was the need. But God is with you. Mm-hmm. And if you feel you need further prayer, you know who the leadership team is, or capable, mature Christians on the leadership team. If you, it doesn't have to be me. If you want to form one of them later today, throughout the week, if God is touching your heart on this and you want a bit more prayer, a bit more support, then do that. Speak to us and we'll do what we can. To help. I'm just going to play one song. We've kind of run a bit over this morning, but you'll understand I was quite passionate about this theme this morning. I better stop there because I'll start repeating the sermon. I'm going to play a song to finish. Just listen to the words of the song. Sorry, just a moment.